It's All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. For decades, where Catholics went to Mass was largely a matter of geography. But increasingly, the Church is making room for personal preferences, including ethnicity, social values, or even the style of service. It's called the personal parish, and it's the subject of Maryville College sociologist Tricia Bruce's new book, Parish and Place. She spoke with me recently.
For some time in the Catholic Church, parishes have been defined by territory, so they're geographically based, meaning that much like a school zone or a polling zone, there is a specified area that if you live within that area, you're supposed to go to a particular parish. And for years, centuries really, this is how the Catholic Church has operated. And it has a lot to do with administratively, it's helpful to organize, knowing where Catholics are, how many Catholics are in an area, and how many parishes are needed to serve those Catholics. It's helpful to priests and to bishops who are in charge of managing their larger diocesan area to know what Catholics are going where. So in short, Catholics are assigned, even today, technically, to a territorial parish based on their residence, where they live.
One thing that you cover, though, really sort of the crux of your new book, Parish and Place, is that something else, a new tier, a new system is evolving. And this sounds a little bit like, or a lot like, something I grew up with. I'm from Protestant America, and I have that in my background. And you kind of, you go to the church that you like best. If there's a particular message, a particular pastor, or you like the community around that church, you go there, and it's not necessarily drawn along what you're discovering and what others in the Catholic Church are discovering is that's where congregants are starting to draw their own lines now, right?
That's right. So even though we have these territorial boundaries that technically tell Catholics where they're supposed to go, we realize more and more that there are social boundaries, essentially, where Catholics are making choices about what parish feels comfortable to them, where they want to attend, which is much more like a Protestant model of congregationalism. And this started especially after the Second Vatican Council, which was in the early 1960s. And this was a moment in the church. It lasted for 3 years. It introduced a number of pretty broad sweeping changes for Catholicism, among them that Catholic parishes and the masses that they celebrated therein started to take on different personalities. They began to celebrate Mass and offer homilies in the vernacular, meaning the language of the people, instead of in Latin. And so from this, parishes started looking different. And since that time, then Catholics have begun to see territorial lines as a little bit more optional rather than prescriptive. And so they've started to see different types of parishes and choose different types of parishes. Now, my book is actually looking at this phenomenon of what are called personal parishes, which is actually in some ways the formal response to this, because what personal parishes are parishes that are not territorial. They are parishes that don't have geographic lines. They are parishes that instead serve a specific population of Catholics. For example, there are personal parishes that serve Vietnamese Catholics. There are personal parishes that serve Korean Catholics. There are personal parishes that have an emphasis on the traditional Latin Mass or social justice. And so what these personal parishes do is offer a model of the church, the Catholic parish, that is based on these social boundaries more so than territorial ones.
How did you start trying to define how this is changing, what these lines that you just mentioned, how those lines are drawn? How did you go about doing the research?
Sure. So this was a project that I originally started in 2010 with a case study of the Archdiocese of Seattle. And in Seattle, this is a place where they had a broad array of diverse lay Catholics and were looking for different models to meet the needs in that area. And they ended up, actually, the bishop there starting 5 different personal parishes of different types. There were 3 ethnically based personal parishes, 1 social justice, a personal parish that had a social mission to downtown Seattle, and another for traditional Latin Mass Catholics. So after I went out to Seattle, did some interviews, and tried to understand what was happening in this place, I ended up taking it nationally. So I did a national survey of dioceses to understand how many personal parishes there were, what the modern use of them is, because there are certainly some overlaps with an older model of national parishes when Catholicism was young in this country. But here I was looking in a more modern sense. And then I asked questions about how they made decisions about who, for whom, and why to start these personal parishes. And then I use the data from that survey to then follow up and do case studies again throughout the United States. I went to lots and lots of personal parishes, lots and lots of masses in many languages, many different forms, interviewed priests, interviewed bishops, in order to understand this phenomenon across the United States.
What kind of personal parishes exist in East Tennessee?
East Tennessee is a less Catholic area than many Catholic areas. In fact, Tennessee is one of the least Catholic states in the nation, so we have fewer Catholics. But there are, in fact, some personal parishes in East Tennessee. Namely, one of the parishes that I profile in my book is one that the local bishop here, Bishop Sticca, actually dedicated back in 2014, and it's a personal parish for Vietnamese Catholics. So we have in this area a number of territorial parishes. Again, every Catholic has a parish that they are at least canonically in the neighborhood of. Parish actually meaning territory more than congregation in that sense. But we also have other kinds of needs that in this case the bishop recognized and wanted to create a parish that had that specific special purpose. It's rare in this area, particularly given that we just don't have very many parishes, period. But there are some personal parishes here.
The subtitle of the book is Making Room for Diversity in the American Catholic Church. And I could see where that would have a positive undercurrent to it. But I would also imagine there might be traditionalists who say, wait a minute, this is eroding the Catholic Church the way we think of it. And there may be a perception that that weakens the church in that area. What are the concerns that this may erode tradition, this may erode the way people are used, especially older Catholics, are used to thinking of these parishes?
You know, there's some really interesting, in some ways, competing threads on that front. Because Catholicism, of course, prides itself in maintaining unity across vast diversity. Unlike other denominational forms, it hasn't split 100 different ways. It tries to maintain and actually is the largest denomination still in the United States. But that means that it's hugely diverse therein. And in fact, Catholics are sort of reacting differently to their faith, in some ways picking and choosing the practices and beliefs that they would like to partake in, and making local communities their own. So when I think about sort of the unity in diversity in the Catholic Church, it means how is the Catholic Church managing and accommodating the vast changes that are happening? Among them, the fact that in the United States, we're moving towards a majority-minority America, meaning that there are more and more people of color in the Catholic Church. There are a number of Latino Catholics. There are a growing number of Asian Catholics, many of them first-generation Catholics. And how are those needs different from other Catholics? And then you also have Catholics who are looking for that more traditional form of Catholicism, including the form that predominated before Vatican II.
And you mentioned this. There are actually personal parishes that would accommodate people who want something like a Latin Mass that actually would cater to the people we describe as maybe the traditionalists or the old-timers.
That's right. So this is actually one of the things that helped to advance modern personal parishes. It's the fact that after Vatican II happened and the Mass went to the vernacular, there was a small but growing group of Catholics for whom that traditional Latin Mass was the preferred mode of worship and to some would say the more authentic version of Catholicism and Catholic worship. And so a number of individuals sort of mobilized around that idea and actually built really strong networks, including networks of priests who have now been trained to go out and offer the Mass and start parishes that preserve and continue this traditional Latin Mass. So personal parishes actually create a space for Catholics to do Catholicism in that much more traditional way. And I'll add to that too, these are not parishes that serve just older Catholics who remember life in the church before Vatican II. In fact, many of the folks who attend traditional Latin Mass parishes, personal parishes, are young Catholics. They're young. Some of them have many children and are raising their children through this traditional form of Catholicism and high ritual.
Kind of a back to the future dynamic,
That's
it
right.
seems like. Well, let's take a look at the more positive side. So yes, there would be concerns that creating these various personal parishes may undermine what people traditionally thought of as the practices of the Catholic Church. But again, the subtitle of your book gives us some sort of a positive spin as well, that this may give Catholicism more of a personal relevance. Is there an idea that you think this may rope in people who thought, yeah, traditional Catholic Church isn't for me? Hey, but I like this idea of the personal parish. In other words, bringing people maybe back into the fold who had left or thought that the Catholic Church was less relevant to them.
Part of the argument for personal parishes is that it helps for faith retention and for building community that is meaningful to people who attend. So if you look at, for example, first-generation Catholics who, you know, the very early infrastructure of the Catholic Church in this country was predicated upon national parishes, which is sort of the older model of the personal parish. And so you had the German Catholic parish, you know, the French Catholic parish. And these were places that built massive infrastructure for first-generation immigrants that had enormous consequences in sort of in terms of building future social mobility, which worked. Now, personal parishes went out of favor for some time among bishops, but by bringing them back, part of what this is doing is creating then that infrastructure that can help to both welcome Catholics who have particular needs, whether first-generation immigrant or otherwise, and have a place that feels like home to them. And this is really at the core question about personal parishes. You know, is it better to have a parish around others like oneself? This is homophily, right? Birds of a feather flock together. We tend to feel most comfortable in spaces where others are similar to us. Or is it better to be around others who are different? Because that's an opportunity to build what some scholars call bridging capital. You're sort of meeting others who are unlike yourself. You're able to move social mobility or create unity across lines of difference. But this is the tension, right? Do we have personal parishes that separate us, or do we find spaces to bridge that difference in other forms of parishes?
That reminds me, Dr. Bruce, very much of conversations you and I have had and that I've also read in opinion pages and in media sources all over about larger phenomena like this happening over the last few decades in America, that people are less likely to belong to more diverse groups and more likely to kind of self-segregate to the people that we like to be around with, people who agree with us politically, people who have similar backgrounds, similar socioeconomic. Mm-hmm. It's a self-segregation. Is that a similar phenomenon? Am I reading too much into that? It sounds like there's a secular version of it, and there's the religious version that we're talking about, where people are wanting to be around people who are more like themselves and less more like people who would be disagreeable.
That's right. Yes, that's absolutely happening in the Catholic Church. It's happening already in a de facto way in Catholics choosing where they worship and around whom they worship. And my book talks about personal parishes where it's happening more in a formal way. These are formally places that cater to a slice of Catholics. But I think the place of hope where I find, and part of where I talk about this in the conclusion, is that, you know, in the Catholic Church in particular, and you can draw parallels to other spaces too, is that there are parishes, but there are also dioceses, meaning that parishes exist in a broader community of other parishes that are different. So if you have one parish that may cater to a particular group of Catholics, you have another that caters to another, the diocese is a place that has an opportunity actually to bridge those differences and bring those parishes together. This is similar to what might be used in a large Protestant megachurch where there's a small group model, a small group that caters to, you know, young moms or something. But then you have other larger opportunities where you bring that group together with others who are experiencing very different things in very different life stages. So my hope, I think optimistically to add sort of a normative slant here, is that personal parishes, like any space where we feel comfortable around others like us, can be used in combination with spaces where we're challenged to really get out of our own experience and be exposed to very different experiences and diversity in different ways so that we can begin to understand each other better and talk across lines of difference.
Tricia Bruce is an associate professor of sociology at Maryville College. Her latest book is Parish and Place, Making Room for Diversity in the American Catholic Church. She's also the author of a book before this called Polarization in the U.S. Catholic Church, and she studies the sociology of religion. Dr. Bruce, as always, a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.